So you can ask Grumpy. I had prepared a preach over the weekend, and then I came to the prayer meeting, and the Holy Spirit was saying something completely different. And so I'm going to prepare. Well, I'm going to preach something that is not prepared. And the reason we do that is we want to follow the Spirit, right? It's not about eloquence or about, you know, polish or about, we want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, right? And so the Holy Spirit started to speak through John very clearly this morning, and then through Mikey, you know, and somebody had a word, endurance. Who was that? Alex, right? So it was kind of weight. There's suffering going on, and we prayed for Sunny, and so wait, and there's pain, and then endure, right? Like, and I'm like, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, and I'm like, ah, Holy Spirit, I've prepared a good one, you know, and I feel like, you know, He's saying that, and I'm like, just do one more thing, just one more fleece, you know, and then John brings the guitar, and he starts to sing a song which is basically Psalm 40. Right, which is all about waiting for the Lord and enduring and seeing the Lord come through. Right, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what we're going to preach on. So we don't have anything on the screen because this is not prepared. So open your Bibles. Yeah, this is a nice, you know, to Psalm 40. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to record this, and then I'm going to send you all the notes. Is that good? Okay. Let's look at Psalm 40 from verse 1. And this is going to be more of a teach than a preach, right? And let's see how it goes. So it says, this is David. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. The mire is like slime, right? It's not a nice pit. Like it's a dirty, slimy pit that I can't climb out of myself. And it says, He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and He steadied me as I walked along. He gave me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And I'm just going to give a couple of categories from it. David was the king. Right? And so the king, oh, you've got it. Johnny, you're amazing. Can you go back to verse 1? Ah, we can look at it. Okay. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. Right? Why did he need help? Where was he? He was in a pit. Right? And was he having fun in the pit? What was in the pit? Mud and mire, right? In English, like in California, what was in the pit?
Garbage,
trash, pain, discomfort. Man, but I thought David was like God's man. Like he was a Christian. Like he believed, and he was the king, and how could he be in a pit? I have some bad news. God's purpose for your life is to take you through pits. Do you remember somebody called Joseph? Man, he was chosen. He was given a beautiful coat. He was given wonderful dreams. Like you're going to be a ruler one day. You're special. You're chosen. And some when we come to Jesus,
We hear that message. God has chosen you. You're His son. He's adopted you into His family. And we're like, woohoo! Right? David went from the field with the sheep, you know, nothing, to the palace, right? But here he is sitting in a pit. And what happens is in our lives, we go into problems, we go into troubles, and we think, what's going on? This is wrong. This is how am I going to survive? Like, why is this happening to me? Something's gone wrong. And we don't realize, no. Something's gone right. Because God's promise to us is we will have pain. In this world, you will face troubles of many kinds. In the book of Psalms, it says, when you go through the deep waters, not if, when, I will be there with you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what then what? There I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. You're like, why does the rod and the staff comfort? Because when we look at the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that God does something to those that He loves very much. What does He do? The Bible says that God the Father, as a good father, disciplines everyone that He loves. He disciplines. That's why He says, my rod and my staff. Like, what do you do with a rod? You hit things, right? And what do you do with a staff? Have you seen a shepherd's staff? It's got this little hook around the side. And you, have you ever felt like you were busy, you were happy, and suddenly, you know? Yeah, I didn't expect that. I'll give you a little example. I was, you know, in Canada enjoying the cold weather. And, you know, suddenly I go just to help my friend collect some chickens, right? And we're unpacking the little chicks and, you know, getting pallets and whatever. And from then on, I couldn't walk. My disc burst in my back. And I was in so much pain. 2 weeks, I'm preaching, holding on to the thing like this because I couldn't stand properly. I'm like, God, I'm doing your work here. You know, like, why so much pain? And we can become shaken by that. If we don't realize that it's what His purpose is for us. And I could tell you more of my story. Maybe I will, but we'll see. I don't want to get stuck on that. But there's a thing about being a South African, Capetonian, British, starting to become Californian, right? Who goes to Manitoba, Canada in December. I mean, you know, guys said to me, it's going to be cold. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know cold, right? Yeah. And so I have these, it's a brand of jacket. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Berghaus. Have you heard of it? It's a European brand that people use for climbing mountains, right? And so I'm thinking, you know, and when there's snow in the mountains, obviously, you know, you don't climb mountains. Yeah. Anyway, and so I got this inner, which is like sleeveless, whatever, but it protects your chest, you know, and you zip it up and it's all full of bubble air kind of stuff. And then I got an outer, which it's got the full arms and the hood and the everything. Yeah, so we get to the airport there, right? You know, we get off the plane and I'm like, I don't know if I need to put on the, you know, so it's fine because there's aircon, like heat, on the between the plane and the airport, right? So it's warm on the plane and we get on this thing and there's heat. Like you step off and it's like hot air. And I'm like, oh, this is okay. You know, I kind of, you know, didn't have the big jacket on. Yeah, when I collected the bags, you know, and then the guys are, we just outside. You just come outside to the car and we're going to, you know. So I'm like, okay. And I walk towards the doors and the doors open, right? And I'm like, like, yeah. I was like, wait. And I zip it up and I put on the other outer one and I put the thing on, you know, and I go outside and that air, the wind, I don't know what it, it just goes straight through the both jackets. Like, I am, yeah. And they're like, hey guys, hey, hey. I'm like, can we get in the car? Like, it's minus 40, okay? Cold is relative, right? And the thing is that the people in Canada, the Manitobans, right? They don't survive the winter by being like me, being surprised by it. They survive the winter because they are prepared for it. What am I trying to say? Jesus speaks through his word to us. And he says, don't be surprised, my brothers, when you go through many different types of fiery troubles. Okay? And I'll send you all the scriptures. I don't have them. I'm not just preaching, right? He says, don't be surprised. He says, I'm writing to you in another place. He says, I'm writing to you so that you may not be shaken by these troubles that you are facing. Why? Because if we're not prepared, we will be shaken. We will doubt. We will fear. We will panic. We will, like, let me speak directly to this congregation. Man, we've planted, here we are, you know, and we've been here for, how long have we been here? 3 years, right? Yeah, and where's all the people? Is it difficult? Is God shaping us? Is God preparing us? And if you're wondering, the answer is yes, he is. And let me ask you another question. Has it been difficult? Has it been painful? Then you know you're exactly in his will. Because trials are promised. They're promised. Pain is promised. I'm going to take you back. So I am there and I'm like, Lord Jesus, do a miracle, heal my back. I don't know if you know the Canadian medical system, but there it takes about 6 to 9 months to get an MRI scan, right? You can't go private. There's no option. You can't. It's illegal. Like you, there's the National Health Service, which doesn't work, right? That's all there is. And so, you know, I go to the hospital. They do an X-ray. What are you going to see, an X-ray? They do a CT scan. You can't see a disc in a CT scan. It's because that's the, and I'm like, I need an MRI, you know. And they're like, yeah, we'll put you on the list. I said, when will I get one? I'm like in total pain. Like, I couldn't lift up my foot. It's called drop foot. Like the nerve is being, you know, I could not do that at all. And so I'm like, it's an emergency. I phoned my surgeon in South Africa. He says, it's an emergency. Like you need to. And they're like, yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, it, no longer than probably 6 to 9 months. So I get in my car, I drive back home. I'm like, oh, Lord, what must I do? You know, the next day, the Lord does a miracle. He sends a blizzard. Do you know what a blizzard is? Have you ever had a blizzard here?
No. We hear of them.
You hear of them? I've got a video of me driving through a blizzard, okay? Because I'm the Capetonian, right? Californian, whatever I am, I have no idea what I am anymore. Okay? Who has no idea? So the hospital phones, because I'm on the list, and says, everyone has cancelled today. We're free if you want to come and have your MRI. I'm like, it's a miracle. I'm still downstairs. We're in the Martin's house downstairs in the basement. I haven't looked outside. I'm like, what a miracle. I'm like, I'm going to be there. Put me down. I'm coming. Yeah? And I run upstairs to the kitchen. I'm like, hey, guys, there's a space for an MRI at the hospital. Yeah, it's a miracle, you know? And Nathan's looking at me like, what's wrong? He says, have you seen the weather? I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm going. I get in my car. I was driving 12 kilometers an hour. That's 6 miles an hour, right? The entire windscreen was frozen on the outside. The wind was howling and it was picking up snow from all the fields there, right? And going across, they call it a whiteout, okay? It means you cannot see anything, right? The number of times I'm driving, this is on the way to the hospital, right? I'm driving and I'm like, I can't see the road. I can't see, I can't see a line, you know. And then I'll see the middle line of the road, and it's over there. And I'm like, oh, and I have to go back onto that side. Like, eventually it takes me, it's 1.5 hours away. It took me 3.5 hours to get there. I go in, I have my MRI, it's all good, you know. And then I'm like, there's no way I can drive home. I mean, it's just, you know. And so I get in my car, and it's in the middle of a little town. And I don't know if you know, but there's the buildings and the trees and stuff stop the wind in a town. I'm just telling you this part, it's got nothing to do with the preach, but it's just because it's exciting. And so I'm driving through the town, and I'm like, oh, I can see. It's fine. I'll be able to get home, you know. And I've got the heater on full and everything, and yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to go home, and I start driving. And as I go out the town, it's like worse. And it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun is going down. I'm like, oh no. And you know what the Lord sends? He sends a GMC angel. It's this big GMC truck, comes up behind me, lights on, and he goes, ah, you know, like, I'm like, oh, you know, and I want to pull over, but I don't know where the edge of the road is, so I just slow right down, and I indicate, and I, you know, I go, and he goes, past me, you know, and I'm like, and I feel the Lord say, follow that truck. I can see these red, and he's got his flickers on, you know. You've got red flickers, yeah. And I'm just like, and I go behind him, and I'm like, the only thing I can see is, it's every so often I can see GMC, but hardly any, and it's just these red lights, you know, like, and I'm just following this guy. I don't know where he's going, but I, yeah, and I'm following, and I'm on my Google Maps, you know, and he's going the same way as me. So I'm like, okay, and I go and I follow. Anyway, it took us 6 hours to get home. Because all the roads had been closed by the Royal Police or whatever they are, yeah, because there were accidents. Anyway, it was such an adventure. I can't tell you the whole thing. We'll run out of time. The point being, that guy actually took me all my, because we had to stop at a particular time. And I said to him, help me, please. I don't know where I'm going. And I can only see you. He's like, where are you going? Like, yeah. He says, I'm going here. He says, okay, I'll take you there. He went like an hour out of his way to take, anyway, he was an angel. The point being, God is going to take us through times when we don't know where we're going. We're completely lost. We're completely helpless. We feel all alone. But he's never going to leave us in that place. He promised. You know, he says, when you go through the deep waters, I've used the scripture already. There, I will be with you. Not, I will be on the one bank saying, go, go, go that way, go left a bit, go. No, no, no. He will be with us and help us. And then we come back to Psalm 40. And this is where we're gonna finish. Oh, actually, I'm going to say one more thing. Why? Why does God give us pain? Why does he allow us to go through suffering and trials that feel like they are extended? Any ideas? To rely on him, that's a good answer. To learn to rely on him. To humble us. To make me realize, God, if you don't provide for me now, I could die in this blizzard. Like, very good, right? Shall we find that scripture for you? Let me see if I can find it. James. There's also Romans 5. So James says it this way. In James 1, verse 2 to 4, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, did you hear that? Last two words, any kind of trouble. Okay,
that means the ones you have, right? Of any kind, comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know, so the only way we can count troubles or pain, joy, is if we know something, right? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. What word did you have? Endurance. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You guys okay? Oh, we're not finished yet. It's okay. Nearly, though. And then Romans 5 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. What word did you have? Endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Right? So here's the promise. I promise you I'm going to give you pain. I promise you I'm going to hurt you, Danny. That's what Jesus says. Come to me. Come, join this church. I'm going to hurt you. Come to me. Get married, they said. I'm going to hurt you. I can tell you, for me, marriage has been the thing that has hurt me more than anything else in my life. Right? Not because there's anything wrong with my wife, but because there was a lot of tweaking that I needed to change. And he used her to do that in me. Right? And here's the point. In the book of Ephesians, God says that the goal of this Christian life is to make each one of us exactly like Jesus in our character. The goal isn't growth and numbers and success and happiness and joy. It is in the end. Because one day when we see him, we will be like him. That's what he promises. And we will share in his glory forever and ever. It's going to be incredible. But ignore that bit, because that's the later. The now is pain and trials and problems and difficulties and hardships. Because those, listen to this, are the only thing that will develop the character of Christ in you. There is nothing. Grumpy, you can't comment. You haven't had any pain. And I'm joking, because you're going through pain. And if I look around this room, I can see every single one is going through some kind of pain. And you should be so happy, because Jesus is personally giving you the pain that he knows you need to become like him. I was thinking about telling you a little bit more about my pain. Can I? So anyway, long story short, I fly to South Africa because it costs too much to do it here in America. And I have my first surgery, and the flight was painful. And I get there, and then waiting was painful, and then the operation was fine. But when you have a back operation, it's painful afterwards, you know. And then you have to lie on your back for 4 weeks. You can lie down, or you can walk. You cannot sit, right? So that was painful. But the Lord used that time so amazingly. You know, I mean, I got to help a whole lot of guys in South Africa that needed exactly what I can help with, you know. And then the Lord used the time also to teach me certain skills and stuff that I can use going forward, which, and I'm so grateful for that, right? But and then I was doing serious core exercises. I'm like, I'm going to get strong. I'm going to use this time, you know, to build up. And 7 weeks of this, you know, and I was getting so strong. And man, I, and eventually the physio was like, you are
fine. And now what I want you to do, I want you to build strength. So she gave me this kettlebell, you know, a 15, 16 kg kettlebell, right? And she says, now I want you to do squats with it, you know? So you hold it like this and you know, you start doing, you know, your squats. I'm not going to do anything because now my back is, you know, I'll explain. And as I'm going down, I'm doing number 14, and I get to the bottom, I just feel like, and I was like, oh, and I fell down, and I let go of the thing, and I'm like, oh. The disc burst again. Same one. And I'm like, I'm lying on the floor of the gym, I'm like, there's a guy on the treadmill, on the bicycle. I'm like, excuse me. Can you help me get up, please? Yeah, I say, come over, help me. Anyway, long story short, get an ambulance. Man, I get pain. All the previous pain was like baby pain. This one was like fire, right? All the way down here, in this backside, down here, all the way down the leg. Like, I could not pain like I've never experienced before. ER, yeah, and they give me these oral meds, like, which are Schedule 6. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like the highest level of pain medications you can get, and it did nothing. So I'm lying there 45 minutes, that's how long you have to wait, and I'm writhing and crying, and yeah. Eventually, they're like, okay. And they get intravenous morphine. Have you seen these movies where the guy, you know, the soldiers, when they've lost a limb? Yeah? I love morphine. So they put it in my, and I just feel like this warmth, just like kind of go, ooh. I was like, oh. And I fell asleep immediately. And I'm lying there on the ER bed, you know, it went from like 10 out of 10 to 2 out of 10. And I slept. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah, and they're like, okay, we're going to send you home because what I've done is I take blood thinners. And so they can't operate while you're on blood thinners because you'll bleed out, right? So I have to wait 5 days for the blood thinners to be out of the system before they can operate again. So they're like, we're going to send you home. We're going to give you the hectic drugs, you know, and you're going to be fine. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I go, I get home and I take these things and I take more. And that pain is back. And he puts me back in the car, back to the hospital, back to the emergency room. Like, you know, and they're like, you again. I'm like, help me. I've got pain. Yeah. And they more IV morphine. I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah. And they're like, okay, we're going to have to check you in. Anyway, long story. I had to be in the hospital for 5 days before I could have my operation on morphine. And which was cool because there was no pain. It was amazing. And then I had the operation again and I get up. And the op went well, and the next day I'm like, get up, I start walking with the physio again, like, you know, those baby walks, yeah, and they're like, okay, you can go home, everything's good. I'm like, okay, so I phone Annie, I'm like, hey, come pick me up, please, I'm not sure we should record this part, anyway, it's a bit embarrassing, anyway, so Annie says, okay, I'm coming to get you, you know, and I'm like, oh, my tummy's a bit sore, yeah, like, because I've been eating hospital food for like 5 days, you know, now 7 after the op, and no going to the bathroom. And I'm like, I need to go to the toilet, yeah? So I'm like, I'm going to go to the toilet, have a shower, I'll be ready when Annie's here, yeah? So I go to the toilet, and I sit there. No movement. I'm going to spare you the details. It was... What do you call those things that you have to put up? So three of those. Each one you have to wait 45 minutes for it to work. It didn't work. Ever heard of an enema? Yes. Right? Got one of those? And those are not pleasant. I'm just saying. Nothing happened. Another double one. And now we're 5 hours in. Nothing. And now my body is starting to go into like shock and failure because there's something stuck and it's not moving. And I want to just explain to you the level of humility I'm talking about here. I am wearing nothing. I'm on the bed, like, I'm like Somebody's going to come out. Like, I need to go to the toilet. They're like, you just stay. You just let it out. You just let it. I'm like, no. There's four nurses. I'm wearing nothing. And there's stuff coming out. Like, but it's not stuff. It's just the stuff they've been putting in. It's bad. It's bad. It's so bad. It's so painful. It's really bad, right? That's not the detail. I'm going to skip now. The detail's way worse than that. Just saying. There were three other patients in the room, but they've got the curtains closed, right, thankfully. And they are asking to be moved to another room because I'm making too much noise. Right? Anyway. So they get it out. Then I go home. But then, and I'm being, you know, this is a humility thing, I'm just telling you. Like, Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses. I get home, and I'm like, I need to go have a shower because, like, this. And then I'm just saying there was something wrong down there. There was something very wrong down there. It wasn't usual, right? And what they call it prolapsed hemorrhoids. I don't know if you know what that is, but you shouldn't want to know what it is. It's stuff coming out of there, right? So, like, and it's super painful. And I'm up the entire night, like, because it's now 8 o'clock or whatever, and I couldn't sleep for a second, right? And I'm like, this is too painful, God, you know, like, you know. And so I phone I forget the name, there's a type of surgeon that deals with that stuff. You know, I phone the office, I'm like, emergency, I need help, please, you know, at 9 the next morning, right? I haven't slept, I'm like, you know, and they're like, yeah, sure, you know, and this was sometime early May, they're like, the first appointment is 10th of June. I'm like, you don't understand, like this is an emergency, they said, sorry, yeah, everyone's fully booked, like, I don't know, how many people are having these things, you know, like, yeah. And so I phone my family doctor. He's like, come here now. Like, so, and he puts me in the car. Like, I can't sit. Like, I have to, like, in the car. And I've just had a back operation. Like, so it's bad. Like, yeah, I get to the doctor, I go in. Like, I'm walking like this, you know. Like, it's bad. Yeah. He says, come inside. You know, just, okay, we need to check you out. Take off everything. I'm like, yeah. Go lie down here like a baby, you know. Like, yeah. And he's like, this is the worst case I've ever seen in my life. Like, you know, and they've got blood clots in them. Like, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad, guys. So he's like, okay, I'll tell you what. You're so lucky. I'm actually a surgeon. I'm like, are you? Yes. I don't have to be happy or sad. Like, you know, and he says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. I can do it. I have to do it right now. Like, otherwise you're going to have like serious operations, whatever. Yeah. And he takes out this metal syringe holder thing, and the needle is like that long. He's like, would you please bite on this? I'm like, it's like a wooden thing. I'm like, I don't understand. Why am I just bite on it? And then I realized why. You know, the Bible says, in hell there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I realized I was in hell. He had to put that thing somewhere where we don't want to describe 8 times. He's like, don't worry, when I cut, then you're not going to feel. I'm like, I am sweating. Like, it's, I'm biting the thing. Yeah. My wife is in the other room. She has to walk out. She can't handle it. She couldn't handle it. She's a doctor. Then he gets his scalpel, and obviously the thing didn't work because I felt everything. And I am screaming. He's like, there are other patients here. Can you please just, you know, I'm like, I really felt like telling him naughty words. Yeah. I get home. I'm wearing my wife's pads Like, men are not supposed to wear stuff like that. It's just wrong, yeah? I get home, I'm lying in my bed, and the only solution for these things is you have to take suppositories and some kind of cream that you have to apply, like, 3 times a day. Like, oh, it's hell, yeah? And I'm lying in my bed. I'm sorry, it's, yeah. I'm trying to explain to you what a miry pit looks like for me. And I said to Jesus, I'm lying on that bed there. And I said to Jesus, Jesus, you are not looking after me very well. Like, I am trying to serve you with my life. I cannot think of something that I'm doing wrong. Like, why the back pain, and now this, which is worse than any of it. Yeah, what are you doing? And I open up my Bible to Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. You know, there is the instruction in the pain. Ask him for help and wait patiently. Do you know what the word endurance is? And then I'm going to finish. Do you know what the word endurance is? It's a Greek word. It's the Greek word that is called hypomeno, right? Have you ever seen powerlifting in the Olympics? Right? You know, and they've got that weight, right? And they bend down, whatever, and they pick it up, and then somehow they either snatch it or jerk it or whatever they do, and then they have to hold it up like this. And they lock arms until the buzzer goes, yeah, and then they drop it. Have you seen that? That's the word. It means to remain firm under the weight. Now the problem is if you do that and you hold it and you let it go before the buzzer goes, you don't progress to the next level. The only option you have is to pick up the same weight again and get it there and stay and remain. And this is what wait patiently means. That's what the pain teaches you endurance. Endurance is the word to remain firm under the weight. Does that make sense? And so what do we do when we are experiencing pain and hurt and suffering? And we remain under the weight. And my friend over here has just done that. There was a pain that came and he remained firm under the weight. And it was very hard, very painful, extreme suffering. But he passed the test. And the next time pain comes, you know what you're like? Oh, I recognize you. Lord, help me to remain. Not get me out of here. And so we like, and I prayed. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I've asked you so many times to stop the pain. Help me to endure this pain. And it took about 7 days, and everything got healed. I was very surprised. I didn't know those things can fix themselves. But the Lord taught me that. He took me through that. You know why? And this is the end. So that when John came up this morning and said, wait, and when he played the song about Psalm 40, I would have a message that would encourage your hearts and help you. And this is what Jesus does when we go through it, is the Bible says is that he comforts us so that with the comfort that we have received, we will be able to give comfort to others. And so I want to pray as we end, and then we're going to have some worship. I want to pray for each of you that are going through this pain, that God would give you the ability to wait patiently. Because what happens once you have is he does pull you out of the pit.
He puts you on solid ground. He gives you a new song to sing. And I'm so grateful. That's what I'm doing. I'm praising him for his design of pain. I'm praising him because he's made me a little bit more like Jesus through that. And the Bible says, many will see and will rejoice. And your life will become a testimony to those around you. Because how could you have gone through that and still believe? And your life will be a testimony to yourself, because you will know my faith is genuine, because it's been through the valley and it's come out purified, refined, and strong. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. If you want to get kids or whatever you want to do and worship, you guys can come up. I don't want to rush on. Lord Jesus, we want to just come into your presence. Lord, I want to thank you for your word that is so encouraging to us. I want to thank you for your love for us, that in your love you take us into the trials and into the pain. And Lord, even as we are here this morning, I just pray that your perspective, your encouragement, your presence, your nearness would fill this place, Lord. I just want to ask each one of us to think about that thing that we're going through, to think about the pain, to think about the trial, the hurt, the difficulty, even right now. And I want to ask you, would you just give it to Jesus? Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and weighed down. Cast your burdens onto me, because I care for you. Would you actively give it to him? Would you do what David did and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me to save me, Lord, from this miry pit. And Lord Jesus, would you give us endurance, patience, the ability to persevere? I ask you this, Lord, in Jesus' name.